Certainly one of the greatest blessings we have is to be a part of the family of God. In 2 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 2, verse 14, and going all the way through chapter 7, verse 1, Paul, when he writes this second recorded letter to the church at Corinth, ends that section by talking about these great promises and great blessings we have being in the family of God, and then our obligation as being members of that family of God. This morning's text comes from that very last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. I hope you have your Bible so you can turn there with me. We'll read that verse and then we'll see what these promises are and then our obligations about those promises. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. This is the New King James Version. Paul writes, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Having these promises. Well, the prior two or three verses talk about what those promises are. And they all revolve around God being our Father and us being His children. Notice, going back to about halfway through verse 16 of the prior chapter, "As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." There, of course, Paul goes back and quotes the Old Testament, where those verses are specifically applied to the nation of Israel, and that God would look over them and be their father. And as a result, there would be these promises and blessings come to them. Well, now Paul uses that Old Testament text and says, similarly, God is going to be our father. But the promises and the blessings we have far surpass the ones that Israel had. And that's what makes being a part of the family of God today, the spiritual body of Christ, so amazing, because of those promises. We find out in the Bible that, in the New Testament in particular, that we're adopted into God's family. Romans chapter 11 talks about how we're grafted into the vine. Other places talk about this as being born again, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. "Except ye be born again." This process we have of being cleansed, of being a part of God's family, is said to add us to the church, Acts chapter 2. It's said to translate us into the kingdom, Colossians chapter 1. This puts us into the family of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Ephesians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 5. So this process of being a part of, becoming a part of the family of God, and receiving those promises and blessings, have a variety of names. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that all accountable people, and by accountable people, I'm referring to people that have matured, that are of an age and of a mentality that can understand right from wrong. They understand what sin is. And they understand why Christ's sacrifice on the cross was necessary. But all accountable people have sinned. Romans 3:23, all have fallen. We have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. When we look at the Bible, we are told very specifically that there is something we must do to rid ourselves of that uncleanliness, that defilement. The Bible says, first of all, that the accountable person must have their sins washed away. Paul alludes to this in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, when he says, our washing, our cleansing, is very similar to what Christ did for us when He died and was buried and rose again. We die to sin, we're buried in water, and we rise to walk a new life. We rise a new creature. And it's that process, the Bible says, that puts us into the body of Christ. But we have an obligation, once those sins are washed away, to be free from sin's contamination. Now we know when we take a bath or when we take a shower, that all that water does is wash away the dirt that we have present then. It does not in any way remove future dirt. So when we have our sins removed, whether it's in baptism or later, it's only for those sins that we presently have. In other words, when we're baptized into Christ, that does not cleanse us from all sin the rest of our lives. So what do? The Bible says that we have to free ourselves of that sin. And the Bible is very specific about how that must be done. Now, when Paul writes to these Christians at Corinth, he's writing to people who have already experienced that being born again. They're part of the family of God. They know what that's like. And so they've gone down into the waters of baptism. They've had their sins washed away, and they've came up a new creature. But they also understand, and this is why Paul is writing to them, to remind them of the fact that they needed to be free from sin's contamination, and therefore they had an obligation as being part of God's family. So if we desire that, if we want those promises and we want those blessings of being redeemed and being forgiven and all those blessings that Paul mentions in Ephesians chapter 1, if we desire those things, then that means you and I have a duty. We have a duty. What is that duty? Notice what our text says. We are, number one, to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Now we know from what the Bible tells us, that this defilement happens because of what we do. In other words, I'm not born defiled, but I become defiled by what I do. It's a choice I make. Whether it's an attitude I have, it's thoughts I have, it's things I do, it's things I don't do. In Romans chapter 6, turn back with me a few pages in your Bible. Notice Romans chapter 6, and we'll begin reading in verse 12. Paul, of course, in Romans chapter 6, is also addressing Christians. After talking about how they have been born to be raised a new creature in verses 3 and 4. Now notice verse 12. Paul says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, in your human body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. See, we have a choice. We can either use what we have, we can use our body, we can use our flesh for righteousness or unrighteousness. And those are the two choices. Now, when my arm chooses to take something that doesn't belong for me, it's not my arm's fault. It's my spirit's fault. It's my soul's fault. I had the freedom to choose whether to do right or wrong. I chose to do what's wrong. So I can't blame it on my arm, because I did it. My spirit did it. My soul made that choice. I've been contaminated with sin. So Paul says, do what? Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Whether it's an attitude of malice or envy or hatred, or whether it's sins of immorality or lying or stealing or whatever it is, he says it doesn't make any difference. You have an obligation to do what? Cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, when John's writing to Christians there, he tells them specifically what they need to do. Turn with me, please. 1 John chapter 1. And notice what he says there about our obligation. 1 John chapter 1. Notice verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. But what's our obligation? To walk in the light as He is in the light. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Once someone puts their Lord on in baptism, once someone becomes a child of God, they're born again, they're added to the church, translated into the kingdom, they still fall into sin. So John says, if anybody says they don't, they're lying. They're deceiving themselves. John puts himself in that category. Paul would put himself in that category. We all do that. So what must we do? He says what we do. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John's writing to Christians. John's writing to people who are already part of the family of God. So he knows they are going to fall into sin. He knows that. So what does he tell them to do? You have to admit it. You must admit that you have sinned. It's essential. If you want the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from sin, then you must confess that sin. No, you don't have to be baptized again. But you must understand that what you've done is wrong. It's contaminated you, and that you must confess it. Walking in the light means that we're going to continue to do that. We're going to confess our wrongs and we're going to turn away from it. And we're going to ask God to forgive us. And that happens to all children of God. So that's something we do on a daily basis. We go to God and ask for forgiveness. Yes, God, I know I've done something wrong. And we ask God to forgive us. So we cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. We know where to do that. And then he ends up by saying, we must perfect holiness in the fear of God. Perfect there means to bring it to completion, to cause it to mature. The word holiness there and the word sanctification are the same word. About half the time in the New Testament it's translated holiness. About half the time it's translated sanctification. So we're to perfect sanctification. We're to bring it to maturity. We're to bring it to its completion, its aim, its goal. We mentioned a few Sunday mornings ago when we talked about sanctification and what it meant. The idea is that someone is set aside for a godly purpose. And that's what we are. So when we come up out of baptism, we have been set aside, set apart, sanctified for a godly reason, for a godly purpose. And our goal every day then is to do what? What I think and what I say and what I do is to bring glory to God. Whether I'm at school or at work, home, talking to my neighbor, doesn't make any difference. That's my goal. Yes, I fail. John said we all fail, don't we? But we have that advocate, he goes on to say in chapter 2. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. And so we can go through Him now. We can confess our wrongs and we can ask to be forgiven. And so our goal each day then is to perfect that sanctification, that holiness. We certainly want to be holier a year from now than we are today. The saddest thing anyone could ever possibly see is to see someone come up, a new creature, a new member of the family of God, and then stay right there and never mature the rest of their lives. That's the saddest thing you could ever see. Because we're to grow and we're to mature, we're to become closer to God. That is a goal of ours. That's bringing it to completion. And he says we're to do that how? In the fear of God. Respecting God for who He is. So we have this divine obligation. We want to be in God's presence. We want to be with Him forever. Well, God says those promises and blessings can be yours. But He says this is your duty, this is your obligation to remove that contamination of sin. And that's a responsibility every Christian has, every new creature, every family member of God, every day. To watch where we go, to watch what we say, to watch what we do. And then when we do fail, when we do fall into sin, we confess it. Now, I make excuses for it, but to confess it, knowing we've done wrong and turn away from it, and ask God to forgive us. And that will be something that every Christian does every day for the rest of their lives. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We can be thankful we do have that advocate. We can be thankful that God has allowed us a way for us to be with Him forever in heaven. And He has. That sin, that filth, that contamination, that defilement is originally washed away, cleansed, removed when one is baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. When they're immersed, buried in water. And then it's our duty, our obligation to cleanse ourselves. We confess, we repent, we ask to be forgiven. And then we know that the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all our sin. Now that's the greatest news anywhere. And if that's your desire to have those promises, participate in those promises, those blessings, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this morning.